This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. To help meet a growing demand for fresh veggies in Parkersburg, the First Lutheran Community Garden has been growing fresh food that volunteers give out to people in need. Jade Arthur Holtz joined up with the Community Garden volunteers as they were handing out veggies from their free produce stand.
It's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and with an hour to go till the free produce stand opens, people are arriving from all directions and from various neighborhoods in Parkersburg. The crowds are waiting for the free produce stand to open. Patricia Harmon is one of the volunteers. She's covered in dirt from working in the garden, and she has to shout over the growing crowds of people to be heard.
Not until 3 o'clock!
The First Lutheran Community Garden is located on a small lot on the corner of 19th Street and Liberty Street. The property used to be an apartment building, but when it was torn down, the church decided to purchase the land and start a garden. The mission of the garden is to make produce available to those who may struggle getting it otherwise. Here's Jane Couch, who's just picked up a single red tomato.
I live alone, so it's really nice because I can just take one or two tomatoes and just a mess of beans, so it makes it convenient for me.
When the church first started the garden in 2012, members of the community were free to go into the garden and pick the vegetables whenever they wanted. But then about a month ago, the volunteers decided too many people had been ransacking the garden in the middle of the night for tomatoes. So the volunteers decided to lock the gates and give out the free produce at designated times. Another one of the main garden volunteers is church member Don Erie.
From out at the other garden, they have squash and cucumbers, beans, lot of beans.
Public demand for fresh food began to get so high that volunteers started thinking about expanding to another space, explains Bob Friend, another volunteer.
So last year, Don and I talked about it, and we decided to try to have another garden because we found that the need here was much greater than we could provide with the small garden we had here.
Bob and Don were then presented with the perfect opportunity to expand when a woman offered up her garden. Carlina Titus owns a piece of land across town. She says she offered up her land because she was impressed with what the First Lutheran Church had done to build their first community garden.
And I would see them working there, so I went to work in the morning whenever I came home in the evening.
Carlina's husband has early stages of Alzheimer's, and their large garden was becoming too much for them to take care of.
So one day I just stopped and asked because my husband couldn't put in all the garden. He said, I'm going to have to let half of it grow up because I can't use it. And I thought, no. Not after it's been tilled and used and everything else. That would be a shame.
Carlina and her husband's garden is located just north of the Parkersburg city limits, next to a busy two-lane highway. It's almost twice the size of the garden on 19th Street. Just this year, they've given away over 400 pounds of produce to the community. The Parkersburg Free Produce Stand still runs out of food most days that it's open, but the garden volunteers are now able to give away a lot more produce with the addition of Carlina's garden. Again, Bob Friend.
We picked cucumbers yesterday.
Is there a decent size cucumber?
Yeah. So there's a whole row of cucumbers clear out through here, and this is all squash.
Bob and I then traveled back to the garden at the First Lutheran Church, where Patricia was beginning to stock the shelves of the produce stand. She filled the shelves with large, ripe tomatoes, eggplants, green and yellow peppers, carrots, and plastic bags filled with fresh green beans.
Come and get some vegetables. Are you shopping for vegetables?
Dexter Cunningham is waiting in line for vegetables. He says not only does he benefit from the garden, but his sister and her children do too. He gets them produce from the stand for them to pick up later.
It's just when they got kids, it's kind of hard to, you know, to get out of the house, and I just usually get it and they come in and pick it up later at the house.
It's a bit of extra work to hand food out personally, rather than just leaving the garden open for people to pick food on their own. But volunteers who help run the garden, like Patricia Harmon, say it's worth the time to know that people in need are getting nutritious food that they wouldn't get otherwise.
Well, the lady who said, I haven't had fresh vegetables in years, because they're too expensive. So that was really, really nice that we could give her fresh vegetables.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jade Arthur Holtz in Parkersburg.
Locally grown food in urban areas will be the focus of a conference at West Virginia State University next month. The West Virginia Urban Agriculture Conference will be held September 17th through the 19th. Workshop topics include horticulture, homesteading, conservation, and livestock. West Virginia State Extension Agent and Assistant Professor John Porter says the conference will show that locally grown food is a possibility, whether the individual has a 100-acre farm or a backyard-raised bed. Porter says people in urban areas can help combat issues of food access, hunger, and health. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:49. Cloudy skies today, a chance of rain and thunderstorms, temperatures in the 80s, rain and thunderstorms in the forecast tonight with lows in the 60s, a chance of rain and thunderstorms again on Tuesday, a slight chance Tuesday night, partly cloudy by Wednesday.
Support for our weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
Seven years ago, an Associated Press article labeled the city of Huntington, West Virginia, the unhealthiest in the nation. The article relied on data from the Centers for Disease Control that said a large percentage of Huntington's adults were obese. It said the area had high rates of heart disease and low rates of exercise. Since then, a lot of people and agencies in Huntington have been trying to improve the area's health. But is it working? Clark Davis reports.
Go, guys.
Oh, it touched.
It's okay. You just got to pick it back up.
The parking lot at the YMCA in Huntington is full of kids carrying weighted balls and hauling heavy rope. They're part of the Kids in Motion class. The classes were established in 2013 as one of many programs aimed at reducing obesity in the Huntington area. Reagan Hutchinson is in the class for 6 to 10-year-olds.
Well, it motivates me because I wouldn't do as good if I was by myself, because when I'm around other people, I want to do better.
I didn't have it growing up, and I wish I had. It's a struggle for me to make myself exercise now.
Rhonda Hutchinson is Reagan's mom.
I try to do it and set a good example because, like I said, the earlier they start, they're not going to know the difference. It's just going to become habit-forming.
Residents of Huntington have been more focused on health since a story from the Associated Press labeled the Huntington area as the unhealthiest in the country. The AP report drew international attention. In 2010, British celebrity chef Jamie Oliver came to Huntington to launch a reality show aimed at improving health. He pushed for an overhaul of school lunch menus, and he created a community kitchen in downtown Huntington called Jamie's Kitchen. The show has moved on, but Huntington Mayor Steve Williams says the kitchen is still open, still teaching locals how to cook healthy meals.
Jamie's Kitchen is now Huntington's kitchen. We have more activities on weekends than we ever had 10, 15 years ago. Yeah, we have our festivals. We have our hot dog festival. We'll have Chili Fest. And those things are things that we celebrate. But in the midst of it, there's a lot more activity.
Williams says since 2010, the number of annual 5K races in the area has gone from 19 to more than 40. And the city has moved toward promoting locally sourced food with new local markets like the Wild Ramp. But obesity numbers from the Centers for Disease Control and from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation don't bear out major change. According to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, in 2011, the percentage of obese adults in Cabell County, the county making up most of Huntington, was at 32%. In 2012 and 2013, the number rose to 33%. And in 2014, the number rose another percentage point to 34%.
In Cabell County, we know that we have excellent opportunity to exercise. We have some of the best exercise availability anywhere in the country.
That's Dr. Michael Kakilny. He's the physician's director for the Cabell Huntington Health Department. He says the numbers of those obese don't jive with the availability of quality food and opportunity for exercise. According to the Robert Wood Johnson numbers, 92% of the people in the county have access to exercise opportunities. But Kilkenny says good food and exercise opportunities alone can't reduce obesity. It's also about changing a mindset.
From what I've seen in dealing with patients, that it is becoming all right to lose weight. And that's an encouraging sign. And I get the sense that people are beginning to think it's not only something they should do, but it's something that it's all right for them to do.
Kilkenny says changing that feeling on the importance of being healthy isn't easy. Huntington Mayor Steve Williams says the easiest way to change those feelings is by starting with adolescents.
The adults have kind of screwed it up. We were the ones that were leading, and what we lead ourselves to being the fattest, most unhealthy area in the country. The next step is let's rely on our students. If we show that our students can provide some leadership and help us move the needle a little bit, these students are exciting.
Back at the YMCA, Liz Auble, the assistant director for the Kids in Motion program, is putting a group of kids through their paces.
That's too much for my arms.
Auble says they continue to see more and more kids participate in their program.
I had a lot of families come in that have realized it's not as easy as they thought to continue on that journey of weight loss, but they come in here and they realize we make it fun, and they really enjoy the atmosphere with everyone else and challenging each other.
Although the numbers don't yet show it, many in the Huntington area think things are headed in a positive direction. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
An Eastern Panhandle partnership has received a $5,000 seed grant to develop renewable energy technologies. Eastern West Virginia Community and Technical College and Lost River Green Tech will use the funding to develop new ways to install wind and solar technologies. The grant also will be used to explore renewable energy's market potential in the region. Tech Connect West Virginia's Innovation Transfer Consortium awarded the funding to the college and the Hardy County startup firm. Lost River Green Tech is part of the college's New Biz Launchpad. Tech Connect Executive Director Ann Barth says in a news release that the seed grant program seeks to support work that is close to commercialization and has market potential. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.